What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It is Skews Day once again. It's January 13th, 2026, to be exact. Well, we're recording this from Monday, January 12th at about 1 p.m. on the West Coast. That's where we're coming to you from. In time and space, I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. I got a lot to talk about today, mostly about stuff involving Minnesota, maybe some Greenland stuff if we have time to get to it. So before we get to the show, though, a couple things to note. The UK government is working with Canada and Australia to launch a coordinated ban on X, which by this American government will be treated like an act of war. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, posted what I can only describe as... You ever see like when a president's palace is surrounded on the verge of a coup and it gives like a last minute radio address?
Right. He put out some sort of message or whatever, basically just saying that they would fight back or whatever against Trump, like in the court.
Yeah,
or wouldn't be pressured by the whims of Donald Trump alone.
They're trying to force him to resign with threat of a prosecution if there's got like 4 months left in his term, which is like, who the fuck cares? But and also, if you're wondering what the stakes are there, Erdogan, the current dictator of Turkey, took over their federal bank as part of his power grabs, and their national bank, and their inflation rate's currently 86%. There's a reason you don't want direct... See, Trump does this thing where he takes something like the Federal Reserve, which usually I would love to shit all over, and then assaults it in a way that makes me defend the status quo.
Yeah.
Because it's better than the other way. Like... it's like I'm not in favor of some like undemocratically elected money wizard deciding what price we can all buy houses at.
Right. Yeah,
but
this
right
is also bullshit and is worse.
Yeah, and that combined with the fact that apparently Trump's farts are so distressing to people around him, they become a serious sign of his physical decline. So this could really be one of those weeks where decades fucking happen, it feels like. Anyway, from some fun before we get to Minnesota, because what's going on in Minnesota is all, as we talked about on, for the context of you guys just listen to this show and don't have the Patreon, we talked about the shooting and stuff on Friday, so if it sounds like we've already discussed this before, it's because we have, so apologize. We're trying to talk about this in a way that makes sense in the present, because it will all change four times by the time you guys hear this. This is the weirdest part of trying to do anything like this right now. So, because all this is about fraud related to Somali immigrants in the wealth in doing welfare fraud in Minnesota, not really, but whatever, we've been over all that. But so, I want to talk about another welfare scandal that's happened in Minnesota. In Mississippi. Remember the Brett Favre?
I was about to say another one. Like, I mean, it's Mississippi. I guess not that surprising. But yeah, Brett Favre infamously had a big welfare scandal in his home state of Mississippi a few years ago.
Basically, so he gets a state official to give the college his daughter goes to a bunch of money to build a volleyball court with welfare money, which just seems just on the up and up. But there are other offshoots to that, and there's like a trial. There's trials going on related to it, and they're absolutely fucking crazy. I want to read to you from the story from the from Mississippi, Trey. John Davis, the former head of Mississippi's welfare agency, once confessed that he, quote, tried to buy all your love, end quote, to a pro wrestler whose company he sent millions in welfare funds to, text messages revealed in court Friday show. Davis, who struck a plea deal in 2022, was testifying in a trial of Ted DiBiase Jr., who is the son of the Million Dollar Man, who we all grew up watching wrestle.
Of course, yes. The Million Dollar Man is corrupt. In this country... That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And he's got like Nepo baby fail sons who are also corrupt and trying to get in on the grift and everything. Sounds like he's just been keeping the character, keeping kayfabe going for, the intervening 30 something years to me. This is some classic Million Dollar Man type stuff right here, defrauding the government with their help and shit. Anyway, go ahead.
So apparently what Davis did was funded $700,000 to a Christian charity called Heart of David Ministries. That is controlled by DiBiase. And in federal court on Friday, I'll sort of read through these text messages. A prosecutor asked Davis whether he had a romantic relationship with Brett DiBiase, the brother of Ted. Mr. Davis, were you in love with Brett DiBiase? And he said, I had no sexual desire towards Brett, Davis interjected. Nor did he have any sexual relations that were consummated, he said. What the former Mississippi Department of Human Services director did have was love, he said, a love he found difficult to characterize. Like a brother, he supposed, but more like a son. But Davis had no sons, he admitted, so the shape of the love was indistinct, impossible to define. So okay. The type of love they had for each other kept coming up, because he's funding all this money for the DiBiases for apparently nothing.
Yeah.
And only, his only excuse is he loved them. And he's like, okay, but if you weren't fucking them and you're not related to them, can you please...
So, here, pure conjecture, letting my butt talk for a minute, a couple of different things come to my mind, and maybe a combination of the two. One is like, this guy is some official in Mississippi's government. He's probably an older dude, I would imagine, or like middle-aged or something or whatever. And he could be like a deeply closeted Mississippi guy who is in romantic love with this pro wrestler's son, but can't like even accept that himself. And so it's manifesting in this like crazy where he's like, no, we're just like it's a bromance or whatever, you know, but he's giving him all of this money and everything to like curry his favor. But also, I'm very adjacent to it, but I am adjacent to sort of the world of wrestling fandom and everything. And I know that there's some of the biggest lunatics on planet Earth, right? And obsessive, crazy people in the world of wrestling fans who will pay, if they have the money, will pay however much just to get Ted DiBiase or his cousin or whatever to come hang out at a barbecue at your house or something, because like wrestlers will do that. But anyway... Maybe this guy's like a combination of those two things, and it's turned into this whole weird, you know, sort of situation he's got going on here. And the DiBiase sons, it's just free welfare money. You know, obviously you're going to take that if you're a fake Christian piece of shit. I don't know. I'm speculating here, Mark. you were talking before about you don't like when people build a whole thing in their head, a whole reality that's based on nothing. But, you know, it's fun to do sometimes. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. You're just world building. I would say that if this guy, I would not describe him as closeted because let me read this. Because if you're closeted, you would not be this open about your love for another man. That wouldn't make any sort of sense. So, quote, I love you so, multiple O's here. I love you so freaking much. I want to be selfish and make you stay right here with me, Davis wrote to Brett DiBiase in one text message. So this is either romantic love or the kind of love you have for like your dog.
Right.
It's getting tougher as I ride back. This is a typo here, but like I think it's a missing word too. It's getting tougher to ride back. I realize how lonely I am. He wrote in January of 2019. In exchange, Ted DiBiase Jr. penned pains of loyalty that bordered on matrimonial. This is Ted writing back, so it's like it's whatever this is going on. It's mutual.
It's
okay?
Mutual. Okay, that's a twist for me. I wasn't expecting that part.
I want to be a conduit for you to the world because God is going to bless generations to come through your life, he wrote to Davis and Brett. It was a three-way text message. That legacy, your legacy, has already been set in motion. I declare to you both that I am partnering with you two only in things we've discussed. On my son and daughter, he's swearing here, on my son and daughter, I will declare that I have zero endeavors that I will commit to pursue, entertain, or even waste 5 damn minutes of my time indulging with anyone else. Even if the president, pope, or Billy Graham himself... ask me to consider. No, no, no is my answer.
Bro, so can you pass CTE down to your children? I didn't think that it worked like that. Like fucking Ted DiBiase got his head smushed in so much that like his fucking sons are fucked up from it. But that's like crazy shit. But it's like religious fanatics who are also charlatans and hypocrites and stuff. I feel like they talk in that kind of like crazy, aggrandizing way about everything and the mission and what they're doing and the importance of it all and stuff. But it is so, you know, insane and off-putting to other people. But that shit's crazy.
I'm a person who does say I love you to my friends. Like, yeah. So like it's not abnormal to me.
Yeah, but not like but, that. Not like,
no, no.
No. Like I want to keep you all to myself, Mark.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, the pangs of loneliness grow ever stronger as I inch further away from you as I head back to Burbank from the bar we were at tonight, Mark. Like if I sent you that text message, you'd be like,
"Yeah."
I mean that might be kind of funny actually because you would know that I was doing a bit, but these guys are not. You know, anyway.
I think what we've stumbled upon is the cure to the male loneliness epidemic is doing welfare fraud with your boys. So David, go ahead and finish up here. Davis fantasized oddly about a joint purchase of land that would never materialize, a place he called the DiBiase Farm, a term DiBiase Jr. coined in his many excitable messages back to Davis. He liked to wordsmith, and DiBiase was just a derivative of my name and his name together, Davis said. Like Bennifer? The prosecutor. They had their own benefits. That's also fucking stupid. Anyway, these guys are going to probably get away mostly with stealing a bunch of money with a slap on the wrist. And we got to, you know, carpet bomb Minnesota because Somalis overcharged for daycare services.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of which, let's get into it. The rest of the show, Producer Matt is back there doing his thing. We're getting right into it this time, kicking it off with the way we always do with the Daily Dumbass, of course. So, Matt, hit me with that graphic, please. Tonight's DD, ICE, for not issuing their agents tailbones made out of adamantium.
Alright, so something happens to make the ICE agent charge these people who are making fun of him, right? It's whatever he's responding to is urgent enough that he has to respond violently.
Yeah.
And then when he slips and falls and busts his ass, that reason's apparently gone away, and now he runs away ashamed. The longer version of the video, you can see him get in his car and drive. He literally leaves the street. So,
yeah. Well, there ain't no coming back from something like that, Mark. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I know, but whatever force he was about to use seems to be definitely unwarranted if he just... Right. So, lots going on. And they surged another 1,000 over the weekend. Border Patrol agents in Minneapolis to free up Homeland Security investigators to go find barely existent welfare fraud. And the amount of horrifying shit I've seen in the past couple days is only eclipsed by also the number of ICE agents I've seen slip on the ice and fall down, which is they're wearing tennis shoes, Trey. I see multiple reports these dumb fucks are wearing tennis shoes in the Minnesota winter. One guy slipped and his rifle went off.
Yeah.
He's lucky to be alive.
Right. Yeah, it's serious comedy of errors shit they got going on up there. But it's but ICE now, they come from everywhere, right? Because in my head, it's not like, these are not Texas. I mean, they could be, I guess. But you know, what Border, I mean? Like, Patrol. Border Patrol type. Yeah, right. You know, like from it's because it's funny to imagine like Texas border guys getting like deployed to Minneapolis, basically, and then just slipping and sliding all over the place up there. It's, you know.
Yeah. You and I are football fans. We know how warm weather teams fare in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
So, not usually not good. So, Border Patrol's tactical team is running amok in Minnesota, and you can ask yourself the question why Border Patrol has a tactical team, and you start to get some uncomfortable truths about what our government actually fucking spends money on. Because I cannot in my mind imagine a scenario in which Border Patrol needs its own tactical team.
I don't think that there's any even like law enforcement adjacent like apparatus in this country that you could find that isn't super like militarized and swatted out to the extent that they can get the resources to equip themselves as such. You know what I mean? It almost felt like it's like a cultural thing. They all got to have the kit and the gear. They all got to be tactical because tactical is fucking cool, Mark. So, you know.
Yeah. When I worked for the newspaper, the city police department I covered was finding the money to purchase all their patrol officers AR-15s to keep in their trunk, and that's when the AR-15 went national as a police weapon for like regular patrol officers. And the what cops were telling themselves, this was 20 years ago, but like fairly fresh in their memory, was the North Hollywood Bank shootout. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where there's a movie made about it, I think, but like these two guys robbed a bank in North Hollywood, Bank of America, and were wearing full body armor, and the cops couldn't take them down with the weapons they had. So all these guys in their head think they're going to get in the North Hollywood Bank of America shootout 24/7. That's why they have to have all these weapons. Anyway, people in Minnesota seem to be keenly aware of who the bad guy actually is in this scenario. They've been putting up basically wanted posters for Nick Shirley, the YouTube influencer who started all this by covering all the fake daycare storefronts. I mean, the daycare storefronts he think were like no-show businesses or something, if you got this image, Matt. But yeah, the Wall Street Journal had a story this morning. See, it said Nick Shirley brought ICE to Minnesota. He helped kill Rene Good. Do not let him in your business. So good luck, Mina Samish in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Nick. So the Wall Street Journal had this article this morning. Washington's new lobbyists paying online influencers with few rules, talking about how people are paying influencers to influence the Trump White House because the posting on Twitter is the main way to get Trump administration's attention. The lead example in here was a guy that used to work for the Trump campaign was paid $300,000 by the legal marijuana industry to tweet that Trump should reschedule it because kids would be a big fan of that, and then Trump immediately rescheduled marijuana not to be a class one drug. So buried in this article is Qatar is paying people a bunch of money, American right-wing influencers a bunch of money, and also here's, I want to note here, and this article mentions that Israel made plans over the past year to spend $900,000 on an influencer campaign with a U.S. audience. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with conservative social media stars on at least two of his visits.
Bro, is there not some kind of goddamn, like, left-wing authoritarian regime that wants to throw a bunch of money at whoever? Where's China at? Well, China can't pay me fucking $500,000 a goddamn month to say a bunch of commie shit or something. It's always these fucking guys. There's Russia just buying them Bugattis monthly just to fucking get on there and talk shit about trans people or whatever the fuck. It's insane.
Well, part of this, of having us, well, you think about how differently the two groups of people see the world. Like, I would not trust anyone. I would, forgive me, Trey, but I wouldn't trust you if I...
No, you're right. It doesn't work in the other way, in the other direction as well. That's definitely true. Right. Yes.
So, but it doesn't seem to matter in this world. I just want to point out, I'm not doing corkboard and string here, but I just want to point out the right-wing influencers are currently on the ground in Minnesota begging their government to harass Muslims. All of them also were on a paid junket to Israel late last year. Okay? So keep that in your mind while we talk about this next thing. This is a tweet from Benny Johnson. He posted this video. This is reported to be from Minneapolis this weekend of a bunch of protesters in the streets. Benny says, this is the current scene in Minneapolis. Pray for our law enforcement. There is insane funding behind this. So apparently, I guess all these protesters who are mad about ICE... ICE is going door to door today with assault rifles in suburban communities in Minneapolis. Do you think they need to be paid to be pissed off about this? Mm-hmm. And also a point that Benny Johnson himself last year was discovered to have taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Russian government, funneled through a Canadian production firm, a production company. Now, there's no evidence he knew the money was coming from Russia, but the fucking gall this guy has to say the protesters are paid for their opinions. Right. This paid protester thing is probably going to be the death of me. I want to show you this tweet from referencing a Fox News story. I'll read to you from it. Stop the madness. Quote, what we were seeing across the country as organized gangs of wine moms use Antifa tactics to harass and impede ICE agents is not civil disobedience. It isn't even protest. It's just crime. Organized gangs of wine moms are now harassing. We're going to be seeing diagrams in the CIA of like wine mom tunnels under hospitals by this time next week.
I tell you what worries me about it. I'm now worried that they're going to start showing up at my shows, because if you want to find a conglomeration of wine moms in any given city, check and see if I'm coming on tour there, because there'll be a lot of them in one room together, and I don't want to attract, you know, ICE's attention. I don't know if ICE has jurisdiction over the wine moms yet, but they, you know, they'll just take it, I imagine. But yeah, this is crazy. But to all the fans out there that fit that category listening, like, you guys should feel pretty gangster right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this. Public enemy number one for the regime. You guys are doing it.
Yeah.
Getting on their shit list means you're doing something right.
You're an insurgency. You're the vanguard, the resistance. The outside agitators thing is, a paid protesters thing is so funny because every regime does it when there's a protest. Like, right, the massive protests in Iran the last week or so, and the Iranian government is basically accused of all being orchestrated by Mossad and the CIA, which is funny on multiple levels because Iran's currently, what people are protesting is a shitty economy. It has like 80-some% inflation rate or something, partially to contribute to by sanctions, but also government corruption and you know, mishandling of shit. But so what's also funny about it is it's not really a conspiracy theory, because Mossad, on his Farsi language social media accounts, is saying we are out there protesting with you. And that's credible because they also have agents all over the Iranian government and the Iranian society. Remember, they pulled off that attack last year that was basically with like an inside info on people stationed there. So like, when I don't know whether Mossad is lying or not, but it's not exactly a conspiracy theory the way that it's more credible that the Iranian government is saying there are paid protesters than it is that the American government is saying. And, and while we're saying that our protesters are paid and we got to violently stomp down an air protest, we're threatening to bomb Iran and to help because they're stomping down on their protests. So is shooting your own citizens who are protesting good or bad, Trey?
Well, it depends on the citizens, I think, you know, and what they're protesting against, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm going to hear from a story about, like, Trump is briefed on options for striking Iran as protests continue. Quote, Trump said, "Iran is looking at freedom," all caps, "perhaps like never before." Okay. So, but U.S. officials said they had to be careful that any military strikes did not have the opposite effect, galvanizing the Iranian Republic to support the government, which is obviously what would happen.
Yeah. I know. I was just about to say, it's so funny that they decided to want to like support these protesters or whatever with the only way we know how, which is, you know, raining fire from the sky on top of cities and shit. Just like accidentally blow up their fucking neighborhoods or whatever the fuck and freak everybody out and like just have the exact opposite intended effect would be very typical, very fitting.
Yeah. So I can't figure out like, certainly the CIA is aware that the protest movement being affiliated with the United States government and the CIA would be bad for the protest movement. And how do they get that through to Trump that not everybody's a fan of him? I don't know. Good luck, I guess. Anyway, yeah, in American politics, we overthrow the government if inflation hits 3%. but yeah, I misstated the numbers. Iran's inflation rates right now are more than 50% across the board, 70% on food. I'm in the highest in the world. And I wanted to play this clip here, if you got this chant from one of the Iranian protests, Matt. All right, you can cut it. What they're chanting there, according to the translation I read, is "their kid in Canada, our kid in prison." Right. The children of the country's elite live overseas in Western decadence.
Right.
Which is another example to me of Instagram radicalizing people. Which is what we're living through also. We just don't have the vocabulary to describe it. But yeah, when you're, I might have mentioned, had this sense of this take before, but when you're taking shit on your 15-minute break at your 10-hour-a-day job and you open up Instagram and see people, laying on a boat in Dubai, it's mildly infuriating. Mm-hmm. Going back to Minnesota for a second, the goons have made a fucking GoFundMe for Jonathan Ross, the ICE shooter.
Yep.
The language in the GoFundMe would not conduce me to fucking contribute. Quote, this is from a guy named Clyde Emmons. "The stupid cunts want to make a GoFundMe for the stupid bitch," he misspelled stupid, "that got what she deserved. I made one for the officer that did his job. Let's get this man some money." They're pretending like he needs a legal defense, but he hasn't been fucking arrested yet. He won't need a legal defense for years at least. Bill Ackman promoted this and donated $10,000. It's made like close to its $160,000 goal yet. Bill Ackman, I'm just only mentioning he's Jewish because the text itself in the GoFundMe and calls Mayor Frey a traitor. Mayor Frey is a phrase, the mayor of Minneapolis. And quote, "Mayor McFrey, parentheses, who is Jewish, end parentheses, which should have been a giveaway. But yeah, Clyde is a literal Nazi." Here's another thing he posted on social media, that meme where paper beats rock, where it's a fascist Sig Heil over a socialist rising fist. So yeah, everything going normally. So I mentioned ICE going door to door. I watched, them invade a house, where there were kids carrying assault rifles and pointing them. They tased a woman who tried to film them while they were in her house without a warrant for no reason. Not even sure if there was an immigrant even there. Lots of horrors going on. There was a viral video that I didn't want to give credibility to it. I thought I was watching a video of another ICE officer slipping on the fucking ground and busting ass, which he did. Then he slips on the ground and falls while a detainee in handcuffs goes into a porta potty. Then the agent follows the detainee into the porta potty and shuts the door behind them.
Right.
In my head, I was like, well, ICE is going to deny this because the optics of it look fucking horrific. There's no real reason to do that. I was waiting for some sort of denial or some sort of explanation, because I don't want to think that's happening that open. And then Trisha, what's her name, McLaughlin, comes out, her ISIS designated liar, and goes, her defense of it was like, she insisted it was a man and not a woman being escorted to the porta potty and saying there's nothing to see here. The issue is not whether it was a woman that was sexually assaulted versus a man. It's not okay. It's not okay for a man to be asked to trade a blowjob for his freedom either.
I do not. This does not hold water or nothing. I'm just saying that the argument she's trying to make, or the claim she's making to refute this by saying that's a man. Isn't she saying like, the officer won't allow the man to be alone by himself in case of whatever. He's got a fucking some kind of something up his ass or whatever. But basically, like, it's observation, meaning like, that's not a woman, it's a man, and it's policy to not let a detainee out of your sight, even for using the bathroom, which I don't believe any of that. I'm just saying, isn't that what that she's trying to say? Like, he's just, mm-hmm. surveilling him or whatever, won't let him out of his sight type thing.
Sure. Right, but like, it's like if a man just needs to pee and you're outdoors, there's solutions here that don't involve you. I've never seen a porta potty with room for more than two people.
I know. Where are you gonna? What's he gonna go? Where's he gonna go? What's he gonna do from a porta potty? Like, if it was like a hotel bathroom or something, I could get the idea. It's like, no, they have to leave the door open. Whatever. We've all seen those movies, you know, fucking going there and the curtains just blowing. But like a porta potty, though, I mean. Mm. What could they possibly achieve, even if that is what you were saying you were trying to do? So it doesn't seem to make any kind of fucking sense.
Anyway, I saw other reporting that parents were discussing figuring out how legally, if they can, ride school buses with their kids, because ICE stopped a special ed school bus this morning. Now, I don't know what kind of identification a mentally handicapped child can be expected to produce that shows they're a U.S. citizen on their way to school, but what the fuck ever. It seems like hell on earth in Minnesota right now. Solidarity and prayers to the people. So I wanted to quote here from a Rob Hirschfield, who's the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire, at a candlelight vigil that was held in New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire, Friday night for Renee Good. Quote, I have asked the clergy of the diocese to make sure their affairs are in order and they have written their wills. It's not the time for statements. It's time to put our bodies between the powers of this world and the most vulnerable. So is it a good sign when priests are making their wills ready, Trey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they are, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, or their, bodies, their lives and everything.
Mm-hmm.
At least somebody's willing to do it. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's not like I'm out there doing it. I appreciate the ones actually on the front lines. But we got a honorable mention for Daily Dumbass. But first, check this out. All right, skewers, here's what we got for you. First ever sponsors for this show. That's right. We're going to do ad reads. If you listen to the other shows in the Skew Universe, you know, I've been doing ad reads for years and it goes swimmingly. Products we like, I think you'll like too. We're just, broadening our horizons here at Weekly Skews. We hope you don't mind. And with that said, here's our first round of Weekly Skew sponsors. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. New year don't have to mean new you. It don't have to be a whole new you. Maybe you like most of you. You don't need a whole brand new you. You can just have a less burdened you, a more, free and open you, just a generally sort of better you. But it don't have to be brand new, right? You don't have to be a complete reinvention. You're like, I'm doing okay. I could just shape up in a couple of places, maybe. Well, therapy can help you identify those places, the specific things that are weighing you down or feel like you're holding you back, things you might not be able to see yourself. Therapy can offer an unbiased perspective and it can sort of open your eyes to better understanding your own, relationships, your motivations, the emotions that we all feel, right? Therapy, I'm a big advocate for therapy. I actually have a bachelor's degree in psychology. That does not qualify me at all to really, obviously I can't give therapy. You need a lot more training than that, but it should indicate that even when I was a much younger man, I was always on board with the idea of therapy. Our brains is super important. Your mental state is everything, I think we find, and it just helps just having someone to talk to. You know, for me, I have a lot of imposter syndrome, if I'm being honest. I ain't going to turn this into a therapy session, but, you know, a lot of self-doubt, questioning. Is this all going to go away tomorrow? Do people really like me? That type of thing. It's not healthy, but a therapist with better help can help you navigate those types of choppy waters, and it has certainly worked for me. I'm a big talker. I don't know if you've noticed that about myself, but it's the healthiest iteration of me rambling on happens when I'm doing it to one of the many great licensed professionals at BetterHelp. They have quality therapists there. BetterHelp's therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in this country. There's a therapist match commitment. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your own therapy goals. They have a short questionnaire that helps you identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means that they typically get it right the first time. If you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of their tailored recommendations. They have over 30,000 therapists, and BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, and they've served over 5 million people around the world. And it works. They have an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, and that's based on over 1.7 million client reviews. All right, so that's a good sample size and damn good results from BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. You sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/skews. That's betterhelp.com/skews. BetterHelp.com/skews to get 10% off now. Listen, y'all, let's face it, I ain't getting no younger. You ain't neither. One of the biggest changes I've noticed, I don't bounce back the next day after a night of drinking like I used to. Don't drink like I used to. Not that I need to. That would be truly wild. You know, as you get older, you need to slow down a little bit. But even when you do, you still can't bounce back. You know, we all want to have a good time, special occasions and whatnot, have a great night out and still be able to have a great next day. I thought that that was not in the cards, not on the table after a certain age. I thought that until I found ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol, this week's sponsor. That's right. I gave Pre-Alcohol a try when I was on the road last week before shows. And, sometimes a little jet-lagged, whatever else, it makes the next day worse. By the way, I don't get hammered at shows. Hang out with comics after and stuff. And then, you know, things happen, whatever. Nothing. We just sit around and argue about Star Wars and stuff. It's pretty dorky. But while drinking, and then I next day feel terrible. But this time, I had my ZBiotics before I got started. Did two shows, meet and greets, hung out into the wee hours with the comics. Had a great time. Woke up the next day and felt like a 25-year-old man again. Top of my game. I couldn't believe how much better I felt than I usually do, which for me is truly saying something, all right? Because ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists who tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's actually to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, then drink responsibly, and you will feel your best tomorrow. So are you ready to try it? Go to zbiotics.com/skew now. You'll get 15% off your first order when you use SKEW, the promo code SKEW, that's S-K-E-W, at checkout. Plus, it's backed by 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Subscriptions are also available for maximum consistency. Remember, head to zbiotics.com/S-K-E-W and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off.
El family ya se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
All right, and we're back. So, first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass this week. People who won't tone down their rhetoric while objecting to an ICE agent killing a woman that he called a, quote, fucking bitch. This is Tom Homan, the man himself, cry-bullying to Dr. Phil.
Tone down the rhetoric. In my career, I've buried border agents, I've buried ICE agents. And the saddest thing I've ever had to do is hand a forward flag to a spouse or a child. I don't want to see anybody die.
Okay. So the death of America has way more Dr. Phil involvement than I anticipated.
I know, tell me about it.
Personally, I'd also like to live in a more civil society. I absolutely would. But also, the President of the United States called half of America unpatriotic scumbags in his Merry Christmas message.
Right.
So why are we pretending?
No, I know. No, they always, right. It's like they put it out a million times. I've said it a million times or whatever, but it's like they do all this insane, do and support all this insane authoritarian, overtly fascistic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when we're like, why are you guys being fascist? They're like, oh, wow, really? Jeez. You know, this is the problem right here. You can't just call people fascist, all right? You wonder why everybody gets so upset. You know, it's like, it's maddening. We're just all being gaslit 24/7 and everything. But yeah, it's like, because that, yeah, well, essentially, you know, that it's the rhetoric's fault. It's her fault, you know, for believing the rhetoric about ICE being bad. And it's anybody but, you know, the masked thugs' fault that the violence keeps happening.
Talking about the gaslighting, I thought it was pretty funny because we talked before a bunch before about how like the right loves to co-opt left-wing language about like, you know, ableism or whatever, sexism. There's a funny clip of an ICE agent, and he actually had raised a good point, but he walked back to a car that was following him, and he goes, "Do you realize how racist you're being right now?" And they're like, "What?" He's like, "They're blowing their whistle to let people know about ICE's presence." But he's like, "You're just like, those people are just brown laborers. You're the right one assuming they're illegal, not me." Yeah. I was like, he honestly raises a pretty good point, but also the keep blowing the fucking whistle.
That is a very white liberal thing to do. I feel like it's run up to like just a brown dude and be like, "Get out of here, they're coming," you know, whatever. And then the guy's like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Well, my name's James. I'm from fucking, you know, Ventura or whatever.
Yeah. Not that it matters. It doesn't even matter if you're a U.S. citizen. They tackled a 17-year-old working at Walmart and then dragged him into a van. He was working at Target. And then when they realized he was a U.S. citizen, they dropped him off at a Walmart because he forgot where he worked. Just how dangerous is it to work for ICE? I wanted to figure it out. I'm glad somebody wrote up about it, because this whole third crying thing about I've had to hand a folded flag to the children or wives of slain ICE agents is just fucking fraudulent. At least how you would think about it. According to ICE's own data, they have like a wall of honor where they put up all the people who have died in service. Which, according to ICE's own data, none of its officers have been killed by an immigrant in the agency's history. The leading cause of death by far among ICE officers is COVID-19. The second leading cause of death is cancer linked to 9/11.
No slip and falls yet, though? No.
Those are going to be up by the end of the week. Get them some snowshoes, some fucking cleats, dog. The pandemic and September 11th cancers account for 75% of the deaths in ICE's history. The most recent ICE officer death attributed to something other than cancer or COVID-19 occurred in 2021. But that incident did not involve an immigrant either. It occurred when a special agent died after a service weapon was accidentally discharged in a parking lot. He shot himself in the leg and bled out.
Mm-hmm.
But how else was he supposed to learn cowboy gun tricks twirling his pistol around, right? Another death happened when a special agent was hit by a drunk driver while getting a taxi in Miami. I guess they're counting that as maybe he was on duty. And another resulted from a special agent contracting dengue fever while on assignment in Indonesia. Do you know how undeadly dengue fever is, Trey?
No, I don't know anything about it. I've heard of it. I don't know where it ranks amongst fevers, but...
You get it on by getting bitten by a mosquito. It has a fatality rate of about 1%, which is completely eliminated, say it with me now, by a fucking vaccine that he probably chose not to get.
Right. Well, COVID being number one also makes sense, you know, so I'm sure there's a big overlap between ICE agents and people that don't believe COVID was a real thing, despite the fact that so many of their brothers-in-arms coughed to death as a result of it or whatever.
And, like, usually to travel to a place like Indonesia, you have to get vaccines. Do they get a special exemption if they're taking fucking, if they have to go for work to take a detainee? I don't know. So the only case listed by the agency of an ICE official dying while attempting to apprehend an undocumented immigrant happened when an officer had a heart attack during a foot pursuit in 2016.
I almost said that as a joke. I swear to God, I almost said that as a joke earlier. I was in a way, implied, because they don't look like they're in that good of shape. I could see some of them keeling over while chasing these guys down. I was going to jokingly say that, so I'm not surprised it actually happened. But that means that, like, not that this is surprising, but he's all teary-eyed and stuff talking to Dr. Phil, and he's going into this whole thing about, you know, the hardest thing I ever have to do is hand a folded flag to a but, like, based on everything you just said, it's not that he's never had that experience, but he's never had to do that for an immigrant related, like he, even the times he's had to do that in his head, he knows that he did that. Like he's thinking about, I'll never forget handing that. And I'm sure it is still sad. A guy died, but you know that he died of pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. Right. And you also know that you're implying that, you know, he was killed in the course of heroic action, you know, chasing down these dastardly immigrant drug dealers and stuff like that. But as soon as I, even you were playing that clip, I was like, I was immediately skeptical because I was like, dude, if that had happened even once in a high profile way, but especially commonly the way he's implying, like we would all be forced to know their names. They'd be making laws named after the guys who were like, they'd never shut the fuck up about it. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
There'd be three times the amount of AI generated songs as Charlie Kirk got.
Right.
They would horse vessel max him. Anyway, yeah, the most recent case in ICE records in which an immigration agent was killed during an enforcement operation appears to have taken place in 1970. I did a quick Google search and found at least three mall security guards who have died in the line of duty being shot since 2021. So Tom Holman would be way busier if he was handing folded American flags to the families of fallen mall security guards.
Paul Blart, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, let's talk about ICE recruiting for a second here. We've talked about the lowered standards and them only getting 47 days of training, and they don't have to do pass physical fitness tests anymore because none of them can do sit-ups or run a mile and a half. They also can't read or write, according to that article we read together late last year. So Homeland Security has been doing vaguely white supremacist sort of stuff for a while, and they've gone explicit with it in reaction to this. They posted a recruitment ad with a website, join.ice.gov. on their social medias with the slogan, "We'll have our home again." "We'll have our home again" is a popular ballad on YouTube associated with the Manor Bund, which is a white separatist ethno-nationalist men's club. It's sort of like a Nazi Big Brothers Big Sisters program. it's named for the Manor Bund. In German means Alliance of Men. It's a reference to a theoretical Proto-Indo-European Brotherhood of Warriors, sort of the mythological group that existed way back in the old times, in which unmarried young males would serve for several years as a rite of passage into manhood. The Manor Bund wore like animal skins, and the legends were they can shapeshift into wolves.
Of course, right. That all checks out. It's always like some Beastmaster shit with these fucking guys. Like, they're always going to be like, you know, talk mm-hmm. about themselves like they're wolf men who wear loincloths in the fucking woods and fucking, you know, mm-hmm. kill things and eat it raw in the field for dinner every night and that type of shit that they're always into. It's always fucking caveman warrior stuff with these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. And then they go, you know, go home and watch fucking Landman Marathon while eating a bucket of KFC chicken and shit. But anyway, I like those things. I'm just saying.
By the way, truly deranged plotline I was asking you guys about in the latest Landman involving like a non-binary roommate for the college daughter. It's just like, anyway, fuck it. So back to the Manor Bund for a second. They wear the animal skins to shapeshift into woods, mythologically, but when they fought, they fought naked, wearing only belts. So you can see why this hit for this group of guys. Remember the Kurgan from Highlander, the mm-hmm. Clancy Brown's character?
Yeah.
Kurgan was a member, alluding to the Manor Bund. That's where that was his background when he was, you know, that immortal was born. So "We'll Have Our Home Again" also appears as the first line in a lot of mass shooter manifestos. The band that sings the song, it's like a folk ballad, by the way. It doesn't sound like what you'd think of, like, as usually equate Nazi music with, like, death metal. This sounds more like, you know, the Nazi answer to, what can I think of the guy with this
land? Woody Guthrie?
Woody Guthrie, yeah, yeah. It sounds like Woody Guthrie.
That's a funny thing to even exist. Nazi, yeah. Woody Guthrie.
Nazi Woody Guthrie. Okay. The Nazi Woody Guthrie's call themselves the Pine Tree Riots, which is a reference to, in 1772, some guys in New Hampshire almost beat a colonial sheriff to death as a protest over not being able to cut down pine trees. And they're the reason that a pine tree appears on the Appeal to Heaven flag that was flying in front of the Supreme Court Justice's house way back when that was a scandal. So I lay all that out for you guys to ask this question. Who the fuck knows all this shit?
Mm-hmm.
And how do they get a job running social media for DHS?
They... white people that get into how awesome white people are, like, that it always goes deep like this because they need as much, like, again, lore-based justification and everything that they could find. So they get, like, super nerdy about, you know, the,
yeah,
well, the supremacy of white people in their mind.
This is like, but like, this is like this is the amount of lore you have to know to know all this shit. This is like a Star Wars nerd trying to tell you like the whole life backstory for Babu Frank. Like, who the fuck cares, right, man?
I know. Well, it's also like, as I sort of alluded to a minute ago, I think because so many of them that end up getting into this are like slack jawed losers, right? Who are mm-hmm. fucking doughy and unimpressive and shit. It all this like appeals to them for like obvious reasons, but that's why they get so into it and you know, dig so deep and stuff, is because they always want to hear more and more about how really at heart, you know, they're the wolf supreme or whatever. When, you know, they can't keep a job as a fucking mall cop and whatnot. Have been divorced 3 times. Fucking have high cholesterol.
I'm not sure if anything could ever really be a scandal anymore right now, but you'd think like the DHS openly posting Nazi shit on their socials, like the mainstream media seems to not notice it or not ask anyone about it. Elon Musk is retweeting people who are saying they are longing for the salad days of Rhodesia, which, you know, mm-hmm. Joe Lonsdale, who's one of the founders of Palantir, was posting pro-Rhodesia memes the other day. These are people openly allied with the administration. It seems bad. And a lot of people who have a lot of power in our society are very committed to just not fucking noticing it or just not understanding it. And I, for the life of me, I can never really wrap my mind around it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we got, for honorable mention, MAGA AI aficionados for making a free American Greenland look more bleak than we ever could have imagined. Here we go.
I can't believe they finally opened a Target here.
My new snowmobile is parked right over there.
This place is amazing. I can't believe.
Oh my God, dude. I'm really upset by that. I didn't know that. Like, I knew that. Obviously, I know that those places, the strip malls with all the stores and shit in them, obviously they hit for people because people go there and shop all the time. But I thought that, I don't know, I didn't know that they hit for people in, like, the abstract, or, you know what I mean? That people, like, thought that was, like, the ideal, you know? It's like, they like that they can go to a place where there's a Target and also a Starbucks without really thinking about, like, the, you know, the monotone and blight of it all and everything and how, like, depressing it is. But the idea that they're like, no, this is what's up, is... Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit surprised and disappointed by that, I'm embarrassed to say.
Bro... They say we hate America,
right?
And then they go and say that the best thing about America is you'll get a Target
in McDonald's in the same place. I know, right?
Uh huh. And maybe be able to afford a new snowmobile, which Greenlanders have. They're not poor guys. They're better off in a lot of ways. We'll get to.
Yes, but do they have Applebee's, Mark? That's what, I think so, not. And yet, and thus, they have not yet truly lived, obviously. And that's why, that's American exceptionalism. Half-price apps after 7.
Anyway, it's usually like lefty types who will say that Americans have no culture, which isn't really true. You know, we invented rap music, bluegrass, stand-up comedy.
Comedy, jazz.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have stuff we'd be proud of. I would never in a billion years say the proudest thing I am of America is a fucking Target.
No.
So... there's reporting yesterday. This is from the Daily Mail. So they have a little bit of a grain of salt. What they tend not to do is fabricate stuff. They definitely don't fabricate stuff to make Trump look bad because they're, you know, owned by Rupert Murdoch. So he's apparently ordered special force commanders to draw up a plan for the invasion of Greenland, but is being resisted by senior military figures, they reported. Sources say that the policy hawks around the U.S. president, led by political advisor Stephen Miller, have been so emboldened by the success of the operation to capture Nicolas Maduro. They want to move quickly to seize the island before Russia or China makes a move. Russia or China's not making a fucking move. I don't know where we shouldn't take Greenland, but like, you wouldn't do it with special forces. And who told these guys that's how you would do it? Let me quote here, a lot of interesting stuff in this article, but British diplomats believe that Trump is also motivated by a desire to distract American voters from the performance of the U.S. economy before the midterm elections later this year. But it's weird to me that Trump keeps falling this trap of trying to distract people from an issue he's unpopular on by doing something he's also unpopular
on. I know. That's what I was about to say. I was about to ask. I was like, but is that going to... I know that that was always a tactic for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But like we talked about on like the last episode, I think, I feel like the rules are not the same anymore, even on the American right, where it used to be just like any kind of conflict we were involved in, the right went conservatives were going to break out the flags and be like, fuck yeah, hell yeah. But I feel like there's a huge chunk of them that don't do that anymore. So that's not even a reliable strategy to just start, you know, beating the war drums whenever the power of the dollar is falling or whatnot. And you've got elections around the corner. But, you know, what the fuck do I know? The other thing, and I know this has also been brought, but like, we need a plan to like invade Greenland. Okay, if that happens, is that like, is that like us starting a war with Denmark, you know? Or... Like, is that, will we be at war with Denmark all of a sudden if they actually do this? Because I feel like people don't talk about it like that. It's like, I don't know. I don't know how you can't even possibly give the proper amount of like heft and weight to the insanity of the things that we're constantly doing. But I still feel like people don't do it enough. Do you know what I mean? Like they just talk about the things like it's just another thing that might happen. And it's like, yeah, but that would be fucking supremely insane, you know? Like,
yeah. It would mean the end of NATO. There's only pretty much only one person in the world that definitely wants NATO fully destroyed, and that's Vladimir Putin.
Putin, of course. Yeah.
So Denmark, I saw a conservative member of their parliament yesterday put out a statement. It was basically, we will not cede Greenland even under threat of the use of nuclear weapons. And he's like, I'm paraphrasing yours. I didn't know we're going to bring it up, but he was like, I know this is not us saying that we stand a chance against the United States. This is me saying that some things are non-negotiable.
Right.
So yeah. Whose side do you want to be on? That guy who has principles or, if you're wondering about this polls, when I said this is unpopular, pressuring Denmark to sell in America has 52% opposed, only 16% for.
Well, why would anyone want? No disrespect. Well, like what? Why would your average American be like, fuck yeah, we need to take Greenland? Unless it's just they know that Trump wants it and they're just, you know, part of the Trump cult and just do everything that he says. But what's the rationale for like?
I think, I sort of get, like, I think we all as a people share the sense that the United States is sclerotic and stuck, right? And Barack Obama will be the first, unless something changes, will be the first American president to not see a state added to the Union in his entire course of his lifetime, unless we seize Greenland and make it a state. I would be all for expanding the United States if Greenland wanted to be a state.
Right.
We could also just let Puerto Rico and some American Samoa into the Union. Right. We have other options besides violently seizing territory. But yeah, another reason, all the other stuff that you're seeing with threats against Iran, all this stuff, keep in mind this context. And I didn't realize this the first time I read it, but it seems pretty clear here why this is in the Daily Mail. The sources are coming from the UK government, who apparently been briefed on America's plans to take Greenland by their American counterparts, and they're trying to get somebody to help them out. A diplomatic source said, quote, "The generals think Trump's Greenland plan is crazy and illegal, so they're trying to deflect him with other major military operations. They say it's like dealing with a five-year-old."
Yeah, another source said
they have tried to distract Trump by talking about less controversial measures, such as intercepting Russian ghost ships, where a clandestine network of hundreds of vessels operated by Moscow to evade Western sanctions, or launching a strike on Iran.
Launching a strike on Iran. That's funny. We have to distract the president from doing something truly. Like I said, let's do something a little more, you know, a little more standard, a little more run of the mill. Likely we could bomb Iran again. That's always a classic. That always worked. People love that. Why about that, sir? Would that make you feel better?
Yeah. They're basically trying to sell Trump in a more manageable world war.
Right.
Yeah, it's Manchester, you in a different stupid war, sir. So, this is pretty funny. So, there was last week, the United States seized an oil tanker that had been tried to go to Venezuela, allegedly empty, under an Iranian flag, and then got turned around, and the U.S. Coast Guard followed it basically all the way to Greenland before the Navy was able to intercept it and board it, and then, in which case discovered it was a Russian ship. Now, we've seized a bunch of different Russian tankers and trade ships. And let me quote here, "Russia has started preparations to seize an American oil ship as retaliation." Which is deeply funny because there are no American oil ships. One thing we're very good at in this country is tax fraud and avoidance. So, give me an example of what this looks out. looks like. So Exxon owns cutouts in Liechtenstein that are majority shareholders of an LLC that employs a subcontractor out of Japan that provides a Filipino crew to a Taiwanese-built ship owned by a Dutch cutout that flags the vessel in Aruba. Mm-hmm. Good luck figuring out what ships to seize, motherfucker, because we... Right. The only thing we innovate anymore is tax fraud. So there you go. and also, what's funny about this is, like, they're all... Our oil shipments are definitely insured, and we do not need them to keep the lights on. So, like, if you... Who's going to end up losing their shirt in this would be, I don't know, Lloyds of London would probably has a bunch of money invested in it from like, a Russian oligarch. So good luck. Oh, God. So, Sweden's major paper, I'm going to have fun trying to say this, Dagens Nyheter.
Yeah,
anyway. There you go. Yeah. say it again one time for me, please.
Dagens Nyheter.
Yeah, all right. It means today's news, I gather. It's suggesting that Nordics with Sweden in the lead revisit the thought of getting nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Wonder Sweden where just that, what brought that up, you know? Wonder why they got that on the mind, on the brain.
Sweden just joined NATO like 2 years ago to a lot of fanfare. Yeah,
right.
And now they're discussing nuclear armament to deter the biggest and major NATO power, which is fucking us. So when history tries to tell the story of how like New York ended up getting nuked by Denmark, fucking shit, dude. So the threat of special operations is the stick. The carrot here that's been floated by the White House is paying Greenlanders somewhere between $10,000 and $100,000 each to join the United States.
Kidding me? Like, they're really going to get on? But that, I'm not even saying that Greenlanders need or want that or whatever. But it, regardless, that, you know, they're going to give taxpayer dollars just for free checks to foreigners, right? Mm-hmm. And like, your Aunt Tammy is going to be all for it. Like, all of a sudden, like, she's going to love that plan. It's fucking insane. Like, we can't get health care or UBI or nothing like that. Total non-starter in this country. But we'll give it to Greenlanders just so we can, like, you know, run a psyop to convince them to give us their country over, which would benefit pretty much every single, you know, walking around American in zero ways anyway. So,
bro, when do they realize that Greenlanders mostly aren't white?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're. What do you, what's native, the right term? Inuit?
Yeah. So forgive me if we're getting that wrong, but like, there's some variety of...
Arctic native.
Yeah, because the waves of white people that tried to populate it all ended up dying or fleeing.
Yeah.
Because it's a harsh place
to live. It's a harsh place, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is it anyway, whole population, like 50,000 people or 100,000 or something like that?
60,000, I think. Yeah. The entire capital city is 20,000 people, which is funny because one of the reasons they've been so annoyed with like they basically don't talk to Western American media anymore because every single one of them has been interviewed multiple times about how they don't want to be American. Right. So the idea is very unpopular there. I think only about 16% of 16% of Americans favor seizing Greenland, and about 16% of Greenlanders favor becoming American. So as you can see, a mirror image there. I don't know if they take the $100,000, but I would recommend it against it because it's a bad deal for them. Because currently, Greenlanders have free healthcare, free college, 52 weeks of paid parental leave, and 5 weeks of paid vacation.
Right.
So, if you have a baby, you can spend the first year of its life at home taking care of it, whether you're a man or a woman. And then, if you want to take another 5 weeks off at the end of that year, you got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus Christ. Also, just to circle back to here as we wrap up. We got a lot of ship capturing mysteries going on. The American Navy apparently now works for Delcy Rodriguez, the current the former vice president, now leader of Venezuela that we installed. At first it appeared against her will. Now it feels great for her. She got America to help return an oil tanker linked to one of her political rivals that had left the country without her authorization. So the U.S. Navy is working as privateers to help our pet dictator cement control of authoritarian socialist dictatorship that ostensibly everyone who supported Trump and Trump's Latin America policy wanted to overthrow. Trump has been president for a year, and they're now pirates back in the Caribbean, Trey, and they are us.
Yeah. I know. I don't know. I don't like that. You know, that makes it sound more fun than it is. You know what I mean? It's like people think of fucking like, you know, the Assassin's Creed game and Disney rides and Jack Sparrow and stuff like that, and like a Pirates of the Caribbean, but instead it's a bunch of these fucking like buzz-cutted chuds on boats, you know, taking orders and fucking doing ice type shit, but on international waters underneath the American flag. So it's not a good look.
Yeah, the real life pirates ruled. Watch Black Sails.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All
right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. And I want to tell you now, since I didn't up top, go to TreyCrowder.com, please, and check out my upcoming tour dates. Thanks, everybody, that came to Sacramento. Up next is Wilmington, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and Wilmington, North Carolina, and then Birmingham, I think, and a bunch of places coming up in the near future. They're all at TreyCrowder.com. Check them out. You can also go to WeeklySkews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. And for $5 a month, you get 2 extra full-length bonus episodes of this show, like the one Mark mentioned up top, where we discussed the, at the time, recent shooting of Renee Good in Minneapolis and things of that nature. But either way, if you keep watching the main show on Skews Days, we'll keep churning them out, I reckon. So we'll see you in about 7 days. Love you. Bye.
You.